Welcome to the Teradome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Teradome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. Another season of Hokies football has concluded. And I got a friend of the show, former guest, back in the building. He is a part of the Bills Mafia now. Wears number 89 up there. They call him White Steve. I call him Steven Gosnell. My man, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great, you know. December, getting cold up here. It's snowy up here. Glad to be back on, you know, with the man, with the plan, Dan.
Yeah, dude. Has it snowed at all up there yet?
Yeah, we've had last night was our fourth snow. We've probably got a total of like 14 inches, and then the forecast shows snow every day this week. So we're about to get hit with the big so far.
It's a little different than North Carolina, huh?
Yeah, it's different than North Carolina. It's honestly a lot different than Blacksburg too. You know, Blacksburg, you'll get your couple good sized snows, but here it's just continuous.
Yeah, no. How does that work? Do you have an indoor practice facility or how?
Yeah, we have an indoor, so it's kind of smooth how it operates here. They're well prepared, so like it snows a lot. You know, they usually have the road cleared. You know, obviously you're going in 6:37, so on it, and the roads are pretty good by then, so they do a great job up here being prepared and salts all on it and stuff like that, so nothing really phases. You know, people go about their day like it's normal.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, whereas in like you go back to North Carolina or something, you get an inch, you know, school's canceled.
Yeah, but then like you'll hear the stories, it'll be like 15 teammates shovel Josh Allen out of his house to make it to the game or whatever. Like, it's just different.
Yeah, it is, which we haven't got those biggest snows yet. I haven't experienced that yet, so I'm sure it'll come.
No, that's a fact. The Hokies, man. The alma mater. The place that you gave a lot to, gave everything to. You showed out, you know. It was a rough year. To say the least, it was a rough year. We lost our coach three games in. It started out, South Carolina wasn't terrible. It was kind of like, you know, hey, we have some hope here. Maybe it'll be all right. And then by ODU, the wheels had fallen completely off. I guess, what was it like for you watching from afar up in Buffalo?
Yeah, for me, I remember the first game, you know, we just basically – I think we probably basically just ended camp. So, you know, I remember I was real nervous watching the first game. It was a weird feeling, like watching the first game, watching your brother play and you not being out there. So, and I, you know, like everyone, you know, I had high hopes, you know, and then every game and then game after game, and became really, you know, it was disappointing to watch. And, you know, I definitely, you know, it kind of hurt the heart for sure, you know, stung right there, you know. It's weird. It kind of hurts more. You know, losses, I think, hurt more from the outside looking in now than they did even when you were a part of them. So definitely a rough one for us this year.
How many college football games do you guys actually get to watch? Like, is it like I've always wondered, like, when you're in the NFL, like, how much college ball NFL players actually get to watch?
That's, you know, it's actually a great question. Outside of Virginia Tech, I don't know if I've watched any other game this year, because it's like, it's a weird thing. Like, and guys don't watch it like in the locker room, unless it's like their former team, whether it's a big game. Like, we have some Ohio State guys, you know, talking about the Ohio State Michigan, no one's really watching it. Like, I remember, we were talking about like this little celly right here, you know, that Cam Ward started last year, and we have a receiver here, Josh Palmer. And I was telling him that's Cam Ward celly. He said, who is Cam Ward? And I was like, oh, y'all really don't watch college like that. And it's like, they don't. So no one's watching college football in the NFL.
That's crazy. Yeah. No, yeah. Basil scored yesterday and he did it.
Yeah. It's, I guess it's just becoming a thing around the league. I don't really know the meaning of it. But I did see Toot doing that, toting the rock again.
Yeah, I think it means you're stinky. I think that's what it means.
Yeah, I don't know what it is to it, but it's an all right one. I kind of like it.
Yeah, no, it's a good, good
sell. It's a smooth one, for sure.
Have you thought about your, like, when you're a first Sally, when you get called up, like, an active game, and 17, Josh Allen throws you a touchdown pass?
I think I would probably do it just like how it happened, like, in camp this year. Like, you know, I blacked out, and you just got filled with emotion. I just slammed the ball, spiked it. So, honestly, I might accidentally throw the ball in the stands, which, if you overhand it in the stands, it's a pretty hefty fine. But if you underhand it, it's not a fine. So I might just chunk it in the stands underhanded so I don't get fined.
What is the explanation for the overhand, underhand, fine, no fine?
That's a good question. I don't know that either. It's the same concept. It's like if you pump the ground twice with your hips, you don't get fined, but if you pump it three times, you get fined. So I don't know the fine systems and how that works.
You got to ask Jameson Williams, man. He would be the one to tell you.
Yeah, I think he's probably well versed in the fines.
Yeah. So what's your opinion been? What's your diagnosis on why this thing failed so miserably this past year and just overall?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, so the first game didn't look too bad. It looked like you said, you know, there was some hope. You know, people were playing hard. D-line looked good. Like, they were getting after South Carolina quarterback. You know, but I think as, you know, it went on and we got to Old Dominion, it's like if things, you know, if everything just wasn't perfect, you know, obviously nothing's going to be perfect within a football game, but it felt like everything had to be perfect once you got to that second game. And then once it collapsed in Old Dominion, you know, obviously – I think we ended up being 40, like down 40 players later towards the end of the year. And then, you know, you're trying to do things offensively that kind of just didn't fit the personnel we had. Like, you know, I remember just like kind of similar personnel we had, obviously not the same bodies, but it's like, you know, we were moving the pocket, we were running nakeds, getting them on the perimeter, you know, RPOs. And I don't think we kind of had those same options to whereas like we were running these really wide splits, which I think, you know, when you run those wide splits, you're getting the receiver further away from the quarterback, and then the hashes are already further in college. So I think it made it very difficult to distribute the ball and make things simpler, you know, for Kyron. And then I think it really it's like, all right, now we can only run the ball. So it's like, if you get, and you as defensive coaches, if you get a team one dimensional, it's over. They'll put seven in the box, or they'll just drop the safety late to fill to where they're showing, you know, split too high, to where you think you have a clean box to run it, but then they're just going to drop one, or they can corner fire or do like a double corner fire and stuff like that. And I think we started to see a lot of those things to where, their opposing, you know, teams were shooting gaps to where they knew what certain runs were running and who was, you know, taking care of our, you know, Kyron pulling the ball for zone reads. And it's like, I remember, you know, I got to game four or five and I would look at the formation and I would see what motion we were doing, you know, with the tight end. I was like, all right, we're running like, you know, these outside zone beat plays. And it became very obvious kind of what we were doing.
No, absolutely became obvious what we were doing. It feels like, you know, 2023, Kyron replaced Grant, and it looked like there was a lot of promise there. And then 2024 was supposed to be the year, and then he just got massacred. Like, he was just hurt, like, bad. And then it was like this year, it was worse. I don't know what happened. It just, like, he never put it together. And I feel bad for him because I feel like from a development side of things, I wasn't there in practice. I don't know, but I feel like Tyler Bowen being his quarterback coach, I don't feel like maybe they should have got an actual quarterback coach to be his quarterback coach. But
I mean, yeah,
it just feels like he never came out of those raw phases, and then the defenses were just ready for him.
To be honest, I think Bowen did as good job like with him as anyone. You know, once I got here, I realized, you know, you look back, you know, 2023, I think it was, 2023, you know, he was basically, you know, the quarterback most of the year. You know, we were 30 points per game both those seasons. So if you really look at it as an overall picture, like I think Tebow did as good as a job as anyone with him. And I think, obviously he did what we could with him in 2024 when he was hurt and such like that. We were flip-flopping quarterbacks and such like that. And you get to 2025, he has a new offense. It's based off of, you know, the air raid. You know, if you look at it, it's more air raid principles, to where it's like you're in air raid splits and concepts, but you're not throwing the ball. So that's where you're getting him off his game. And, you know, that's really not his game. To where it's like, you know, it's more like pick side stuff, and it's not more pure progression reads and naked's getting on the perimeter. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of that goes into it, as far as, you know, quarterback play and stuff like that. But, you know, at the same time, it's also, you know, a lot of it depends on the quarterback's own mind. Like, you know, your quarterback's got to have a, you know, bulletproof mind and ready to go. It's got to have good body language and, you know, got to lead the troops. And, you know, I think after you saw once the things went downhill later, the body language, I think, got bad. But, you know, you don't want you can't tell when you're playing. Obviously, you're not thinking cameras are on you while you're playing, but, you know, that is a thing. The camera's always on you when you're quarterback, so body language is the biggest thing. And I think that took a toll for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy you say that, because I tweeted it after the game on Saturday. I was like, you know, it looked like he just looked dejected a lot of the time, and it was kind of like that is contagious. Like if the team sees that, like, you really don't believe in what's going on right now, like, it's hard for them to stay motivated. Like, remember the Titans quote, attitude reflect leadership type deal, where, like, you look at Vanderbilt and you look at a Diego Pavia, or even, and I'm going to do some glazing right now, you look at the Denver Broncos, you see Bo Nix, no matter how bad it looks through three quarters, that man never feels like it's over. And I feel like the team, and the Pavia is the same way. Like, he is an injection of life all four quarters for that team, no matter how, if they're down 14 or they're down 3 or they're down 24 to Virginia Tech or whatever at half. Like, he's always like, yeah, we're winning this game, like, sack up. Whereas now, like, Kyren just looked like, damn, you know, out there. So I feel like that was definitely a big part of it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you said it, like, the quarterback in today's day and age and today's football, whether it's college football or the NFL, it's the heartbeat and everything of the team. Like, you look at Vandy, it's like, all right, if Vandy doesn't have Pavia, you know, what is Vandy? You know, they're probably they probably have a losing record without Pavia. You know, he's putting up 400 a game, whether it be on the ground and in the air. And it's like, you're seeing, you know, all the things, you know, pregame, you know, he's just a, like, you can, like you said, you can feel his energy. Like, if I see a clip of Pavia, like, I can feel his energy. He's just a positive guy that's got juice. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, if you don't, like, that's, you got to have that as a quarterback, it doesn't matter how talented you are. You can be the greatest talented quarterback there is, but it's like, if you're mute and you know, you're not just rallying the guys and the guys don't want to run through a brick wall, that's, you know, that can affect the overall team's play and such like that. And then obviously, you know, after the Old Dominion game, you know, you see, I mean, how many, I think, like, to start the year, I think the last three games we were playing without, like, probably what, 25 guys that were contributing. And, like, you look at the receiver room, it was like, you know, Donovan, I heard he just, like, stopped playing. So Donovan was playing good for us. And then AG, you know, I'm proud of AG too. You know, AG stuck through it all year. He's making huge plays. And then I think he was just hurt or something for the past game. So missed him. So I think, you know, obviously I'm super proud and thankful to the guys who stuck with it, you know. That's who the people who stuck with it and, you know, didn't enter the portal, that's who likes ball right there. You know, no matter if you're losing or anything. It was just like our year in 2022, we're 3-8, you know, but you know, we ended up we had a different team, and that's why we were able to come back a little better next year, because we ended up, you know, beating Liberty last game because, you know, we were playing to play. It wasn't like it's like, all right, we're just gonna stop playing, enter the portal. It's like you enter the portal, it's like, okay, you can go to another team, but you're not playing the rest of the season. So that just shows you don't love ball, because it's like, you know, obviously I'm not playing right now, you know, but it's like you're still practicing, you're still doing football, and like going without football is not fun. So that was another hard part, you know. You miss 25 bodies, you're going to be struggling no matter what.
Yeah, and for UVA, we only had like three running backs healthy. You had Overton, you had Stewart,
Overton, I'm going to give a shout out to him. I remember, so we're going through practice bowl week when we're playing the Duke Mayo. He had his ACL then, like that's January. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember before I was training there, I was talking to him, you know, I went through the same process. I was talking to him about things to do, and like, shout out to him, like he came back quick. Like, I think he was playing, you know, 6.5-7 months. Like, that's not easy. And he was explosive then too. Like, he's a player.
No, he is. He's a player. Yeah, it just felt like this year definitely, like, especially for me, and it's really like my last point on Kyren was the South Carolina game. He was zinging that ball into contested situations. Like, they were press manning, like they were coming up with balls, like contested catches, all this stuff. Yeah. And then as the season progressed, it just felt like even if he saw a wide open guy, he was second guessing whether he was trying to throw that football or not. And then it would get him in trouble. But
yeah, so go ahead.
Sorry. I just didn't know. I was like, I don't know if it's a confidence issue or what, but it was sad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not in, you know, other people's heads, or, you know, I wasn't in the building or nothing like that. But that's the thing. Our passing game was working with those 50-50 balls with, you know, AG and Donnie, you know, going out there. But those 50-50 balls, you can't live on those throughout the year. You know, you'd rather – it's why it's called a 50-50 ball, because that's exactly what it is. You'd rather you'd rather have good concepts where, you're getting – you know, chunk yards, or you got good concepts where you're reading left to right or right to left, or you're getting on the perimeter. And that's just the biggest thing. I think we didn't, obviously execution, but then I also think what we had with the personnel, I don't think that would be like air raid. Wasn't that, you know, getting them wide splits. You got to have receivers in the run. You got to have receivers filling in the run game and such like that. And that's what we were doing. And, then that's just not what they were doing. It's a simple way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and you're going to agree with me on this point. We found out we had two very capable tight ends. Obviously we knew Benji Gosnell. You might know him.
He's all right.
He's a beast. And then the other kid, Hairston, came along and ended up, this kid's a player. Like, he can catch the football too. So you have two tight ends. You have a struggling quarterback, whether it's mentally or whatever. Like, they're quarterback's safety net. They're his best friend.
Yeah.
We didn't even use them. I don't even think Benji – I tweeted, I was like, I don't think Benji's had a catch since NC State, when he had that crazy catch that ended up leading to us coming back and winning the game.
When it was 3rd and 9 and we needed someone to make a play, you know.
Yeah.
That's the last time he had a catch.
But we needed a lot of people to make a lot of plays throughout all the games, and he just didn't seem to be a target. And I know he had to be mad about it. I know you were mad about it, because I was mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was frustrating to watch on the TV, because, you know, first of all, we know what he did for us on third down last year and fourth down, and, you know, what he's capable of. You know, he's got the hand, like, he's got stickies just like I do. Obviously, he can't move like I do because he's 250. But yeah, I think that's what we weren't doing, you know. Like, in college football, you know, we'd have just these plays where it's like, hey, we're in a 2-minute drill and we need, you want to start every 2 minute drill with a positive play. And, you know, we would go, you know, to our high low reads to the boundary where Benji would be the low or someone would be on a high. And usually the low is there to where you're just getting your simple 10, 12 yards, you know, your shallow crosses, your flat routes and stuff like that. And we just weren't really involved in that. And it's like, I remember it's just some days, I remember I turned the TV off because it's like we're in a 2 minute drill or third down or fourth down. And he's not like he isn't in even an option or he's in pass pro. So I think, you know, I think you got one of your better hands there and you're not really taking advantage. Now it's like, see Rob Gronkowski in the passing game? You know, probably not, but it's like, obviously in college football, there's just so much, like, because of the wide hashes, there's so much space to where you can just dunk and, you know, keep the chains moving to where it's like, you know, a lot of the times this year we're just in second and long, we're in third and long because we didn't get those positive plays on first and second down and such like that, and you're getting in bad situations. So yeah, I mean, obviously Benji's someone who stays positive and he doesn't mind. And I think he did probably his best job in the run game this year as I've seen him, which was good. You know, so as far as the run game, you know, goes, I think he did a pretty good job as far as that goes blocking wise. So, you know, I'm sure he was positive throughout the team. You know, after every loss, I would just sit there and tell him, like, look, just keep putting good stuff on tape. You can't, you know, just don't think about outcomes and such like that. Cause, you know, obviously his goal as well as playing the league, I'm like, you just got to play like the league is watching every snap, which they are. So that's what I told him. So, you know, trying to tell him to stay positive through the change right now. So we'll see what happens and such like that. So, but yeah, to answer your question, it was frustrating to watch.
Now on the flip side, you know, Brent Pry is fired. Montgomery, he is interim. He's done now. We have hired James Franklin, who's a winner and who loves tight ends.
Yeah, big 10 ball.
All that patience and pissed off and waiting might be paying off big for Benji.
Yeah. I hope he has good conversations with him, see what he has to say. You know, obviously I don't make decisions for my brother, you know,
right,
what he does, but, you know, I mean, it's really huge. Like you think about it, he's in the playoffs last year, one game away from the Natty, and now he's, you know, obviously certified good head coach, did it at Vandy, did it at Penn State, you know, Pry coached with him. So it's like, he has a good understanding, you know, of, you know, what we could have done better, what we did wrong, what we did good, you know, the building, Merriman, all the boosters, the obviously you could say the high school coaches in Virginia, but I think James Franklin was taking all our Virginia guys anyway. So, you know, I think we've been pretty getting some guys here lately. So, you know, honestly, I think it's, you know, obviously, you know, coaching firings are hard. And in today's college landscape nowadays, it's like, you know, you're on very thin ice and you never want to see a coach get fired, but it's just the nature of the business and it's been the nature of the business. So, hopefully we can get some wins out of him.
Hopefully. I feel like that chance is very likely that yeah, happens. Spring game is obviously going to be crazy. It's going to be a movie. Are you going to be able to make it back for that?
Yeah. Oh, when is spring? April?
Yeah.
January, February, March, April. I know that's the beginning of like workouts, OTAs, but I think if I can make it back, I'm going to try to make it back. You know, spring game, you're still not seeing very much. Like, I know the fans and everyone wants this, but yeah, nothing's going on in a spring game. You know, you're running day one install plays and nothing's really going on. But obviously, you know, every time a new cycle comes around, everyone's hyped for it. But yeah, if Benji's still there, I'm going to try to come back this year.
Hell yeah, dude.
Able to make a game this year. I wanted to come back, but schedule wasn't allowing it. So try to get
there
back.
There are a couple games I wish I didn't make it to either, buddy. But you go from catching passes from Kyron Drones to you know, now you're catching passes from Josh Allen, arguably the best quarterback in the league. How has that changed your game and elevated you to a different level?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, I got here, you get here, you go through OTAs. Those are basically your spring ball, you know, and, you know, I remember he got married over OTA. So it's like, he wasn't, really there. And like, as an undrafted guy, you're not taking reps with the ones or anything like that. So I'd actually didn't take a rep with him until fall camp. I think probably the fourth day when we had a lot of guys go down, you know, and that's when I think I caught like a 50-yard touchdown or whatever. So, but to say I was, you know, the second, third string, fourth string, all those quarterbacks were just high level. Like we have Shane Bouchel, you know, he's our practice squad quarterback. Mitch Biskey, obviously our backup. And then we had Mike White here. And it was just like, I think they untapped a level that I didn't know I had in my game, to where it was just like everything. They're just, every ball is perfect. They're on time, you know? So it's like, you really, you know, you just run, you know, crisp routes, like you're going to look good because they're putting that ball right there. So it's like, really, as far as that goes, it kind of mentally made me realize like, oh, I'm an even better player than I thought I was. Not to say I didn't believe I was already a great player, but that for a confidence standpoint was huge. You know, and then everything else that goes with, you know, playbook in the NFL, everything's very detailed and such like that. So, yeah, you kind of see, like, what high-level quarterback play looks like no matter who's in. So that was kind of – I was kind of at all at first, because it was like, say in college you run a route and, you know, you get this kind of coverage, blah, 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 you're not getting this ball. But in the NFL, they layer throws so well, and they're on timing, and they can manipulate defenders with their eyes while they're about to throw it. It's kind of ridiculous. So you got to just – it's like, hey, no matter what you got, this ball can come to you. So that's obviously, you know, as someone, you know, who's not playing, you know, just I'm getting, you know, I'm learning a ton just being on the sideline, seeing how, you know, the best player in the league operates, you know, seeing how he goes about things, seeing how the team treats wins and losses and such like that, to where, you know, I've just learned a ton about the game of football and how each week to week goes. And I've learned in the NFL, this is any given Sunday league, and you kind of just got to prepare to play your best, and then the outcome's the outcome. I think that's the biggest thing for sure.
Absolutely. How much different is the college playbook to the NFL playbook?
It's actually kind of interesting you say, because it depends on who you have, I guess. So we had Tyler Bowen, and we ran a very pro-style offense. So it's like, I got here, we're running a lot of the same stuff. As to where, you know, obviously there a lot of the splits and such like that are different, because you have such tight hashes in the league. You're running a lot, your run game's different. So as far, and you're under center a lot more, right? So like in college, we're not under center. So, but the biggest difference is in college, you're looking at the sideline, looking for a signal, right? So you're not really here. You know the play, what it's called, but you're associating a signal with a play. Whereas in the NFL, like, all right, you could have 3-4 plays in one play. So you're in the huddle, you have to listen like to all those words, to where, you know, going dose right, X bolt, blah, 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 protection, route, motion. And then you alert, and then they'll say alert to this play, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you're not like lined up in just a general area. Your split is like, you either have a -2 from the numbers, you're +2, you know, you're +2 from the hash, you're just outside the defense split. So all these terms and such I heard in college, because we ran such pro style. So I think that actually prepared me very well. But that, I think that's the biggest thing, is hearing the play called in the huddle, huddling every play, and then knowing your alerts and your checks and your kills and such like that.
No, that's crazy. So we know how crazy the D1 football schedule is throughout college, but how much different is that schedule to an NFL day-to-day?
Yeah, so it's way different. It's crazy. obviously the college season's over with, right? And really, you know, we got 5 games left just in the regular season, not including, you know, the 3-4 we could have in the playoffs. And then with the 3 we had in the preseason. So it's like, it's a long, it's super long. You know, obviously you get, you know, your off days are your off days because, you know, you don't have school, right? And your free time is your free time because you don't have school. So every day when you're like practice, like your work days, you know, your work days are usually Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's like a fall camp day because you're here, you know, you're here from 7 to 6, right? So the days get really long. But you know, it's all you're doing. So it's like, really, you know, there's no, and you're also in the NFL. So there's nothing to complain about really. You know, obviously it gets tired. So that's the biggest difference to whereas college, you know, in the NFL, you're 7 to 6, but in college, like my senior year, I wasn't taking classes. If they were, they were online because I already graduated. So, you know, I'd have my day free till 2:30. I could do whatever I want. Then you'd go, you just go meetings before practice, you practice and you're done after that. So it was a shorter day. So yeah, that's the main difference. The days is just longer and the season is longer.
And I guess my last question is, how much faster is the NFL compared to college?
I'll say this. It's kind of not different from a skill position standpoint. The biggest thing is that front seven. Those D linemen can move like receivers. The linebackers move like receivers. And the O-line is huge. And so I think that's the biggest thing. So as far as a speed standpoint, so like you're not, you know, you're not running your route any faster or something like this. You know, you have your details when you're routes and stuff, but I would say from a skill, like wide receiver DB standpoint, it's probably not anything different other than, you know, it's harder at the quarterback position. Obviously, you know, in the NFL, all the stress is on the quarterback and that's the hardest position, but you know, the front seven is the biggest difference. Those dudes are, like, you look at the Texans D linemen, like, those dudes are different. You know, that's the biggest thing. Quarterback position is the hardest because, you know, he's got all the information to process and such like that and run the offense and operate. And then the front seven and the D linemen, like, you see that from afar. You're really not running your route. You're really not running your route against the DBs. You are in a sense if it's man, obviously, but you're trying to beat, you know, you're trying to be at your spot on time before the linemen get home.
Absolutely. And second part to that, how much easier has it been for you having Dorian and Keonta, who you're familiar with?
Yeah.
Are there with you while you're going through this learning process?
Yeah, 100%. Having, because, you know, you know, as an undrafted guy, you come in, you don't know nobody in the building. You know, they don't know you or nothing like that. So having a couple guys you knew, you know, you've been with for 3-4 years was huge. Keedy, y'all know him as Keontae, but Keedy is his Virginia Tech name, his childhood name. You know, Keedy's my next door neighbor. He lives right next to me. Dorian just lives across the street. You know, we're all in the same apartment complex, townhouse type deal. So, you know, having them right next to me, you know, going through the same things I'm going through, we can just chat about it. And they've been doing a great job, you know, like they always do. So it's been really cool, you know. A lot of Hokies have been through Buffalo, you know, Tyrod Taylor, Tremaine Edwards. So it's cool.
No, absolutely. Steve, man, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy-ass NFL schedule to come on here and chop it up with me about the Hokies and,
yes, sir,
and let people know how it's going up there in Buffalo for you. And
100%.
And we'll have to get you back to a game.
Yeah.
At Virginia Tech, man.
Yeah, next year, you know, we're sitting 8-0. Everything looks good. We'll get back to a game, so that's the plan. I'm excited to see how the offseason goes. You know, obviously, you know, I'm going to keep doing my thing, keep working, and then see how, you know, things keep growing at Virginia Tech. So I see y'all's point of view now, looking out from in, you know, the excitement you get from, you know, the buildup of an upcoming season, you know, now as my alma mater and things like that. So I understand y'all's point of view now for sure.
Absolutely, man. Hey, man, as always, go Hokies.
Go Hokies, man. Let's go. Appreciate you having me on, boss.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.